Good morning, church. Beautiful presence of God. Beautiful presence of God this morning. You know, the thought came to me this morning as the worship's going on. Well done, guys, by the way. Emerging voices, eh? The thought came to me this morning, and Paul mentioned it, and used the word victory. You can live by bread. You can live by bread alone. Or you can live on every word. Yes. To live on bread alone is just self-preservation. Let me say that again. To live on bread alone is just self-preservation. When God supplied manna for the children of Israel, it was just for self-preservation. And to show them that God can supply. But when you live on bread alone, that's all you ever live. You just keep your head above the parapet and you just live in survival mode. Self-sustenance, self. But if you can live on every word, are you listening to me this morning?
Yes.
If you can learn to live on every word that comes from the mouth of God, you'll have more than just bread. You will enter into victory. You'll never have victory just living on bread. I don't know about you, but I like something else with my bread. You know, I don't like dry bread. I like a bit of butter, and then I like some meat, or I like some cheese, or whatever there is in the house. You find something to put on bread, don't you? And if you come from Openshaw, you'll find a packet of crisp. You'll find a meat and potato pie. You can put anything on bread. Anything goes on bread. Anything. In fact, you walk into a shop and you say, can I have a pie and a muffin? She'll say, do you want the pie on the muffin? Whoa, no, no. It's got to be eaten meticulously. The crust has got to be eaten first. Then the pie can go on the muffin. This is called workman's breakfast or workman's dinner, whatever it is. A pie and a muffin. Man should not live by bread alone. But by a meat and potato pie that goes with it. You can have your muffin. I want my pie. I want my cake and eat it, so to speak. Anyway, let me bring you to today's word. Are you ready today? Because I'm about to just blow you out of water. Well, God is. I'm not. God spoke to us this year. And how many of you know when God speaks, we must listen? You listen to Pastor Tony speak to you each week. Some of you listen to God speak through Pastor Tony. Some of you listen to Phil for a month. Some of you heard God speak through Phil. There's always this dualistic voice. You must know what's the man and what's God. How many of you know I have opinions? How many of you know I might have opinions that God doesn't have or God doesn't share? You must know the difference between what's God and what's Tony. Yeah? Now, some preachers will tell you every word they say is from God. I'm telling you now, they're liars. Because we're part man, we're part spirit. That's why you must discern and weigh up. But what I'm about to say to you today, you must discern, but I believe it's come from heaven. You know, I said to you last week that Rudyard Kipling wrote a Christian poem. And it was called Recessional. Not Recession, but Recessional. And in this poem, he uses the phrase, lest we forget. Now, when God spoke to me at the beginning of this year, he spoke to me about gratitude. And I thought, okay, Lord, what do you want me to show, or what area, how do you want me to show gratitude? And as I've stayed faithful with this message has overtaken me. And it's led me into areas I'd never foreseen, never even thought about. And what I'm about to share with you this morning is something that I believe God has generally shown me and said, this is the game changer from where you've been thinking. This is the difference between natural gratitude and spiritual gratitude. Natural gratitude we're all capable of showing. We can all show kindness to one another. We can all be thankful for what someone said or what someone did. It's within our personality, within our character, to say thank you. Is it not true? Where we choose and to who we choose and how we choose is another issue. But we've all got the capacity and capability to say thank you. But how many times did your parents say, now go on, say, remember to say thank you. And she attached the word remember. Because remembering is very powerful. Phil, can you want to turn the geyser on so we're hot when we finish? Deuteronomy 4:9, I don't need you to go there, but that's where the phrase, lest we forget, is used. And Kipling used it as a way of saying to us, you should let the heart have seen some things, the mind has, I should say, your eyes have seen some things, your life has experienced some things, those things you should never forget. Because they shape you. Amen? And every Remembrance Day, we remember those who have fallen. World War I and World War II. But Scripture, he took that directly from the book of Deuteronomy. And God is telling them, when you enter this land, I know what you boys are capable of like. Once I show you good things, you'll run off and you'll forget who supplied it all. You'll forget your maker. You'll forget the source of your blessing. And you'll go and do your own things. And you will forget me like I never existed. Why? God knows what he created. So God sets it in the heart of a nation that I am telling you as a nation, he said, that these things are important to me. Now, if you love me, you would know what's important to me, and then you would remember. How many of you know that if you know certain things are important to your wife, as a man speaking now, how much do we realize how much attention now needs to be paid in that area? Come on, guys. You know your wife doesn't like this and you keep doing it, you're going to get thumped. And you better remember, she'll keep reminding you, and you better remember that if you keep doing this, it irritates her. Now let's flick that coin and say, she likes this and it blesses her. If you don't remember those things, what does it say about you and your affection for your wife? It says her needs don't count. True? And I ain't seen all these young puppies go to the slaughter come Valentine's Day. Because you think one day of the year is going to fix the rest. So they send a card. They might send some cheap as the flowers. And they say, there you are, baby. I thought about you. And she looks at him and says, really? How much did you think about me? £6? Is that my net worth? Now, we know money can't say how much someone's worth. But have a go. If you could spend so much money to show someone you really are thankful, what's your budget? A fiver? Come on. Now, if that's all you've got, then fine. Share that with her. Share that meat pie and that butty with her. Give her half and say, honey, this is the sum total of my affection. I'm willing to give you half. She might say, it's all right, darling, you keep it. You're in. You're all in. You're thinking, yes, Lord, I was hoping she'd say that. But in essence, we do not have a problem remembering. We're just selective. We do not have a problem remembering. Oh, yes, I'll admit we all forget things from time to time, but we don't have a problem with memory. You think, well, the older you get, you might. Well, let me challenge that as well. We all forget some things, but we don't have a problem remembering. In fact, every year, do you know, John, every year you have a Remembrance Day all of your own?
Yes.
And you just hope that other people who love you and like you also remember that day. It's called your birthday. That's your Remembrance Day. That's the day when I realise I was born and I realise how many aunties I really have. Because half the aunties you've got don't send you money in a card. They're not your aunties. They're just your mum's friends. Real aunties put money in cards. Remember that, you youngins. The one who puts money in your card values you. And then we have that other day called anniversary. And we remember that day because that's a day when we tied the knot, we fell in love, we got married, we said I do, we keep saying I do. Some days you might say, did we? Yes, you did say I do in the presence of witnesses. And it's a day that we remember. Now, let's bring it into something else we all remember. Let's now put December the 31st, 12 p.m. midnight. You know where you all are, don't you? And we begin to listen to the chimes ring out in our city's capital, Big Ben. And Big Ben begins to chime, and we're all aware that we're about to enter into a new year. Now, at this point, we will raise a glass and we'll either say, good riddance to the previous year. You were a bad year. I'll never want to remember you again. You look back and you might raise a glass and you say, that was a tough year. That was a bad year. I lost good people in that year. And you say, I remember that year, but I never want to taste and see it again. True? Or you may raise a glass in thanksgiving and say, Lord, what a tremendous year I've had. What a year of blessing it was, or it's been. I never want to let you go. Stop the clock. Let's just stay in this year because I'm in a sweet spot. And we all can remember on New Year the type of year we've had. True? And then what they do is they do the year in review. And you think, oh, I forgot about that. Oh, I forgot about he said this and they did that. This will be last year, and the year before that will be a year we'll never forget with COVID. And we'll never forget with Ukraine. These are going to be etched into our minds. We don't have a problem remembering. But we will progress from these memories. And we'll look back with COVID and we'll smile how we got through it. And we'll remember those who we knew and we lost. I put to you today, the court, there is no problem with your memory. You're just selective with what you remember. God is not the same. God knows exactly what he remembers. Do you know God knows what he knows and never forgets what he knows? And if he chooses to forget, he remembers it no more. I forgive your sin and remember it no more. God can choose to eradicate that memory. There's no record on his filing system of that sin that he forgave you about. Amen. But how many of you know, unconfessed sin and undealt sin, it's never erased from his memory. And that's what you'll give an account for. God has no problem with memory. He's selective for what he chooses. Yes? You're just like your father. You're just like your father. How many of you know that the past is behind you? But the feelings of the past can live in the present. The past is behind us, but some of the feelings that came from the past live with us in the present. True? But it's past. But it still lives with us in the present. And if not dealt with in the present, it will ruin the future. We have to choose to remember some things and forget other things. Amen? God knows that when he created us, he created us, watch, with capability and capacity. When God created you and your memory, he created it with capability and capacity. Now, what did I say last week? Quite a lot, actually. An attitude is the seed you get to sow. Your attitude shows me you have capacity and capability. Because your capacity to carry an attitude, whether it's good or bad, and your ability to choose who you sow it and where you sow it, is yours. God gave it to you and to me to use responsibly. You seeing this? Now, when God asks us to remember, he asks us to remember, knowing full well he's given you capacity and capability to do so. So he's not asking you to do something you're not capable of. Is this making sense? He is not asking you to do anything that you do not have capability or capacity for. Everybody stands guilty in that area, or blessed in that area. True? So the God who's about to speak to us now in these following verses does so knowing that you have capability and capacity. How many agree you've got capability and capacity? Yeah? Some days it might seem greater than others, but you still have it on any given day. You never forget your dinner. And you never forget how bad food made you feel. And you don't forget how good food makes you feel. And you don't forget what good experiences do and how they make you feel. And you don't forget how bad experiences make you feel. Because we have capability and capacity. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And listen to what God instructs his people to do. And he's still instructing us today. I could show you many verses. This is not the only verse, but this is my point of reference this morning to us as we make our journey through this subject. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 2, and he says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert. Now he's saying the past. I've got your capability and capacity to remember your past. How I led you previously. We've all got here because we've got a past. And God says, remember how I got you to where you are. I will lead you in the desert these 40 years. Why? To humble you, to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep my commandments. Would you remember to keep what's important to me? He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that a man does not live on bread alone. This is where the scripture comes from. You read it in Matthew, man should not live by bread alone. This is where he's referring to. To teach you that man does not live on bread alone. You can live on bread alone, or you can choose to live by everything that comes from the mouth of God. Bread alone is not enough. Okay? To teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Verse 10, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord. When you've eaten and are satisfied, remember to praise the Lord. You seen this? Your God, for the good land he has given you, be careful. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord, your God, my God, our God. Failing to observe his commands, his laws and his decrees that I'm giving you today. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, watch this. When you eat and are satisfied, look what happens to your ability and to your capacity. When you're satisfied, when you build your fine houses and you settle down, and when your herds and flocks and grow large and your silver and gold increases and all you have multiplied, then your heart will become proud. And you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of the hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble, to eat, to test you, so that the end In the end, he might go earlier. In other words, he did something for this generation that he didn't do for previous generations. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hand has produced this wealth for me. But remember, the Lord your God. But remember, the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. The ability and the capacity to produce wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirm his covenant which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. And if you ever forget, and if you ever forget, and if you ever forget, and I ever forget, watch what he says. The Lord your God, and follow either gods, other gods, and worship him and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. God has capacity and God has ability to destroy what he once blessed. You have the ability and capacity to destroy what God's trying to bless. Do you realize that? You have capacity and ability to destroy what God's trying to bless. And I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed, like the nations the Lord destroyed before you. So you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. Would you say remembering is pretty serious in that scripture? I would say it's pivotal. The whole nation rests, the blessing of that nation or the cursing of that nation all rests on their power, their capacity and their ability to remember the instructions God has given to them. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, let me introduce you to your Christian life. The terms and conditions of blessings are what you put into practice, what you remember, what you see as important and what you don't see as important. These will become the reasons why some are blessed around you and others are not. All the way through this scripture, God in his discourse is emphasizing we have the capacity and capability to remember. And so he places emphasis on our need to be conscious about the areas where we need to remember. How many of you know your prosperity can become blinding? Let me say that again. How many of you know that your need to get sustenance, a job, a life, a wife, a husband, children, how many of you know that can become a very blinding journey and self-fulfilling? And in that, you can disregard other people and other importances. That's why the broad path is broad. And that's why there's a narrow path. The people on the narrow path are put Christ first. But the people on the broad path are seeking their own way. But in the end, it leads to nothing. So you may have the capacity and capability to produce great wealth, but you have no capacity to remember what's important. How do I know that? I see it all every day. Now listen to the instructions from this scripture. In verse 11 he says, be careful. Underline, be careful. He's talking to you. Be careful. Do you know what be careful means? I'm glad you asked. It means make sure you avoid potential danger. Make sure you avoid potential danger. So when God says, be careful, he's talking to you in that verse to avoid you, the reader. You say, well, I'm not in the desert, not a physical desert, but you might be in a period in your life where you're dry. He says, be careful. Why? Because there's potential danger in the way you're going. There's a reason why you're in a desert. Because potential danger can bring harm and consequences. Irreversible sometime. Be careful that you don't forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, laws and decrees. Now when God says be careful, he knows we're capable of doing it. So he's asking you to add extra diligence into remembering what God has spoken. Extra diligence is needed. Then go down to verse 18. So we've seen in verse 11, be careful. In verse 18, but remember the Lord your God, for it is He. We all need to remember this. For it is the Lord your God. It is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. To produce, what does that mean? To produce an income. To produce provision for your family. God gives you these skills. This ability, I should say. But verse 17, here's your response back to what I've just said. You say to yourself, this is your internal justification for taking the path you're taking, for continuing down the path you're taking, because you've got provision, you've got your future all settled in you. So this is your justification. God, you didn't give me that ability. It was me who had to go to university. It was me that had to put the hard work in. It was me that did all the hard work, Lord. Where was you? Did you go to university? Have you got my university bill? And God would say to you, oh, congratulations. So you have now become a self-made person. You made you in your image. You made you in the image that everyone else bows down and worships. Look what I've done with my intelligence. Now, was you involved? Absolutely. You're right. It was you who had to open the books. It was you who had to go to university. It was you who had to go to college. It was you who had to take extracurriculum. It was you. It was you in that room. It was you who paid the bill. But who gave you the ability and the capacity to do that? That's what God's saying. Put me first. It's amazing when you ask people what they want to do with their lives. Wow. And you know, God's gracious. He allows us time and opportunity to turn and to recognize and to acknowledge. He does. Young people, it's difficult for you to make choices in life. It's difficult because you don't know what you're after in life. But God still wants to lead you nonetheless. God still wants to speak into that. God knows you have desires, like us all. But please, please, young people, don't think there's only you in this room who's got desires. You think desire stops with you? Starts and stops with you? Hey, I might be 60 years of age, but I've still got desire. I've still got passion. I've still got dreams. And mum and dad has a dream for you. God doesn't dream, because God never sleeps. To have a dream, you've got to be asleep. God has a plan. Amen. God doesn't dream about you. God has a plan and thinks about you. Amen? Amen. So the first rule of dreaming is you've got to wake up. So you say, my power's in my hands, because I've got this ability, I've got this capacity. Yes, you do have God-given capacity and ability. But it'll only get you so far. And then your boss will show you how much capacity you don't have. And how much ability. Why? Because you'll get promoted at some point to the level of your incompetence. And your character won't keep you. Your ability might have got you an interview. But can your character keep you? Ah. And then all of a sudden you feel, I can't handle this job. Me thinks you may have gone a step too soon. God, get me out of here. Oh, now you're calling. Where's your capacity now, Kim or Savvy? Verse 19. And if you ever forget the Lord your God, and you follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, you'll be destroyed. Remember not to worship. Now we think, we don't bow down to graven images, don't we? Don't we? Are you sure about that? Of course we do. Fashion, materialism. Why do we have image rights? Because we know people love image. People worship images. Money, opportunity, position can be the reasons to make you forget. They can become the reasons why you bow down in certain areas. I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. How does an extra £1,000 a year? Tell me when to start. But now here's the crux. Now the English meaning of remembrance is very different from the Hebrew. And this is where the game begins to change. This is where the game begins to change. The English meaning of to remember or remembrance is very different than the Hebrew understanding. You see, if we say in English, I remembered, or I need to remember, it means to bring to one's mind. Yeah? To bring to one's mind an awareness of something or someone. Would you agree? From the past or the present. It might mean to do something. There's a responsibility that needs to be undertaken and I need to remember to get it done. That makes sense? But you see, in the moment we start moving towards the Hebrew and Judaism, they have a very, very different understanding. Now, put these words together. They link the word awareness and realization together. Awareness and realization. So in a realization, there's an understanding comes to you from the awareness. Because I was aware of something, but then I realized. Now I've got light to see into when I have some awareness and realization. Does that make sense? Now, God tells them, the Israelites, to remember Shabbat. That's keep the Lord's day holy. You will never find a Jew in church on Sunday. Saturday's their Sabbath. And God was most insistent that they did that. Now, in the New Testament, I've seen some Christians say, we should all be in church on a Saturday. I subscribe to the thought, let's keep a day. Let's keep that moment. Let's keep the honour for that. But does it have to be a Saturday? I can meet God any time. But there must be a day when we all have assembled together so we can be fed. Amen? So, let me give you a key word. It's called Zakah. Z-A-K-A-R. And this word is most, most important in the Hebrew language. And now this word can mean many, many things in different languages. You type that word in, you won't only get one meaning. But in the Hebrew understanding, it is very significant, the word zakah. It's one word that you, if you're a Hebrew, you do not want to forget. And you should not forget. You need to remember zakah. Because zakah has a meaning. Now, again, we'll come back to English is very different in its understanding of the word remember from the Hebrew word. You see, we have this understanding in English that to remember is just a mental, psychological thing that just belongs in the brain. And we just think about it and that's it. So you would and I would probably understand that to remember is just a mental exercise. Wrong. This is the game changer. When God's telling us to remember, he means something different than just a mental, psychological exercise. Okay? Are you ready for the insight? I said, are you ready for the insight? Yeah. To engage, to zakah means to engage, ready? The hands, the feet, the lips, and the mind. The heart, the mind, the hands, and the feet. Now, all of a sudden, I've just taken it now from something cerebral into something all-encompassing. It now involves the physical, the psychological, the emotional, the senses. It involves the whole part of you. So when God says remember, he means the whole of you. Not just a mental, psychological appraisal, assessment, awareness, a realization from afar. Because I don't know about you. I can think about you from afar and do nothing. But that's not how God works. And I'll show you in a minute. So to engage, to zakah means to employ and engage your hands, your feet, your lips, and your mind to whatever action's required. To whatever action is required that remembrance requires. It's not just to remember, to recall, or to call to mind. It involves, we're all in. Every part of me is in. Now, how does that relate to us then? If we understand this now, and it's not just a thought, how does this now translate into our Christianity? To remember. Because it's not just a passive mental thought that means with no action. It now means all of you. All of you. Can you see this? So I don't ever want you to see again when he says remember, it just means cerebral exercise. It means all of you. Zakah. Now, Deuteronomy 6, 5. Let me show you a perfect example of all in. Body is complete body activity. Deuteronomy 6, 5. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Is he talking about mental attitude there? No. He's talking about the whole of you. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts, one dimension. Impress them upon your children, another dimension. Talk to them when you sit at home, another dimension. And when you walk along the road, another activity. Is this just mental so far? No. It's full on. It's all in. It's all inclusive. And he's given them commands to remember. Don't forget, it's not just a passive mental exercise. It involves the whole of you. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Look at all these activities. Now here's one. Tie them as symbols. Now Phil, just give me your hands a minute. Let's just read this. Come here Phil, just come to me a minute. Tie them as symbols on your hands so they would involve his hands. To remind him his hands are needed to be involved. His hands. And then he says, bind them on your foreheads. His head's now involved. Because his head's where his memory's involved. His memory's involved. His hands are involved. And then write them on the door frames of your home. Cheers, fella. His home's involved. You can't say it's just a psychological. You can see how the English has dumbed this down. But to zakah, now are we Christians? Now I've spoken for the corporate. Are you a Christian? Right now, if you're a Christian, you're in this message then. So from now on, to remember just does not mean to passively sit there and just muse. It now means your involvement. So when we come to show gratitude, we're all in. We're all in. And we've got to find out what we need to remember. So when I'm in my expression of gratitude, my hands need to be involved. So when we take up our offering, are your hands going to be involved? Because your hands are going to go in your pockets, or they're going to write a check, or they're going to make a payment. Your hands are involved. But your hands will follow your mind. And your mind follows your will. And your mind and your will and your heart follow your feet. Because your feet tend to lead you in a direction. So you're all in. You can't give a mental offering. I tell you what, if that's the case, I'm going to ask your boss to pay you in memory slips. Sorry we didn't pay you next week. We haven't forgot. We'll pay you next week. And you get the same one every week. You'll soon find out memory doesn't work. Action. True? We've got to stop living passively. And start being proactive with our memory. Oh, wish you were responding better than I was preaching. Now, let's just think of Joseph for a second. Because I know you all like prison. In Genesis 40, 15, Joseph's in prison. Now, I want you to read Joseph now in the light of what I've just spoken to you and see it in a different way. When Joseph had interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh, Pharaoh's cupbearer, I should say, he begged him, only remember me. Now, was he saying, just have thoughts about me? He was saying, Zakah, remember me. Remember me. Not just send me a note, remember me. I was the guy who interpreted your dream. That's no good to Joseph. Him being passive, just remembering me. It's not enough just to you. You know, on Facebook, and I know the sentiment here, but hear what I'm saying. Everyone just puts a like and a love about Ukraine. Your like and your love of posting things about Ukraine doesn't change anything. It's your involvement that changes something. Not your passive, we're just thinking about them. I don't want you to think about them, I want you to do something. And he says, only remember me when all is well with you. So I've now got to wait for you to feel good about you so that you can remember me. That's not good. Joseph needs action now. He needs action now. And he's saying, don't remember me in 6 months, 12 months. Remember me now. Go and do something. Now. And please, do me kindness to remember me. And you show me kindness by go to the king and plead my case. I need your action. I need your mouth involved. And get me out of this house. And that's what he was saying. A passive thought is not going to get me out of prison. And Christians say all the time, we're thinking about you. We're thinking about you. Well, gee, thanks. I don't need you to remember me and be passive about me. Now, this is a game changer. This is a game changer if you get hold of this. Because you're now guilty by what you remember. Because if there's no action attached to what you remember, you're guilty of passivity or disobedience. You see, it's all right if I'm pursuing my own furrow and I'm blessed. Oh, I remember the Lord. I remember when he used to go to that church down the road. I remember. Yeah, but you're not there. Oh, but I remembered you. Now, it's important we understand this. Now, most English translations render the word remember me to Pharaoh as to mention me. But the verb is not just mention me, it's remember me. And the English translations put it down to just mention me. No, he said remember me. The Hebrew word to zakah means I need some action. Get me out of this place. Not just mention me, remember me. So, it's not just a pleasant recollection. He wanted action. Show me kindness by action. And it took him another 2 years. Because obviously the guy didn't remember Joseph for 2 years. Genesis 8:1. Genesis 8:1. Genesis 8:1. But God remembered Noah. Now watch what God does when he remembers. God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind. What did God do? He put an action behind his remembrance. In fact, the wind was the result of God's remembering Noah and the animals. God didn't passively say, and God was thinking about Noah. Please don't read it like that. God wasn't thinking about Noah, and God remembered Noah. It's specific. And what he remembered, he then put an action. He said he needs the wind. God will send the wind in our direction to blow us on course or off course, depending what the action's needed or the purpose of the action. God can lead you into the desert to test you and to speak to you. And God can lead you out of the desert by the same voice. But when God remembered Noah, he sent the wind. Please attach the action to the memory, to the remembrance. So important. You'll never read that scripture again now. God didn't have a passive thought about Noah. He had a purposed thought. I'll send the wind. Remember Noah. He needs the wind. He needs wind. The purpose is not yet fulfilled for this man. Wind, obey my voice. Bring him to my desired purpose. Wow. Can you see that? It was an action. Over the earth and the waters receded. That was the response to the action. The earth responded to the action because God remembered. Are you seeing this? This is why we are called to remember. I haven't even started to teach you what we have yet to remember. I'm writing a book on this. You'll be surprised what God tells us to remember. Now remember, it's not passive. When he tells us to do something, it's all in. Zakah. You getting this? Exodus 39 verse 6. I trust this is helping you. Now look at the priest. And they mounted the onyx stones in gold filigree settings and engraved them like a seal with the name of the sons of Israel. Then they fastened them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod as memorial stones for the sons of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses. He told them what to do and they remembered it. And the action involved is that it had to come on the priest. See this? The priest had to carry around the memory of the instruction. And every time the priest carried that around, he was showing, we observe, we are obeying the instruction, and we've remembered to obey that instruction. So there, Lord, you have to command a blessing. When you do what God asks you to do, God does not ask you to remember as a suggestion. It is a command. And when you understand it's a command, it's an instruction that needs obedience. God did not give the 10 suggestions. He gave the 10 commandments. And our world wants to reduce God to suggestions. Well, he may have said, he may have been trying to say, no, he said what he said. And I don't always like what he said, but he said it nonetheless. And if I read the terms and conditions, I've got to embrace it all. Philippians 4:8. And I'm finding a way to wrap up. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, lovely, and admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Okay? So thinking is the first step, but it's not the final step. Because there is a zakah that comes with our thinking. Because from the thinking, you need to remember. See, to think about what is right, I can be passive, true? Yes. And I can do all those things, sitting there, having my coffee, eating my meat and potato pie on my muffin. I can do all that. And nothing change. Some things might change. I might walk away more peaceful. And that's what he's encouraging us to do. But that's one form of action. Thinking on its own is not enough. I said thinking on its own is not enough. This is where so many of us think, because we're thinking about it, we're being fruitful. Now that's an instruction to think. In this particular case, thinking is the instruction. True? So that's not wrong to think about those things, because it's the instruction that Paul's given to the church. But we have to take everything in context, not in isolation. I'm showing you the principle of zakah, and I'll show you even more. It's littered throughout Scripture. Finally, let's go to Acts chapter 10. You see, hopefully when you think about these things, hopefully the action of thanksgiving and gratitude comes to your mind. So the action from thinking is gratitude, and thankfulness comes. That's why he tells us to think on these certain things, because there will be an action that comes. But go to Acts chapter 10 and verse 2. Now watch this. Phil read this scripture to us when he was speaking, talking about Cornelius. I want to pick it up at verse 2. And he and all his family were devout and God-fearing. They were devout and God-fearing. You don't just become devout in your mind. You become devout in your heart, in your hands, in your mind. Your whole body's involved. How do we know that? Because we're going to see it in a minute. Watch this. And he gave generously. Now we've just said you can't give just by a thought. Some form of action is involved, and he gave generously. So his hands were involved. His pockets and his hands and his heart and his head were all involved, and he gave, didn't say full stop, gave generously. There's his heart. Okay? And he gave regularly. On the one day at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. And he distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is this, Lord? And he asked. And the angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial. Now, God's recorded the zakahs. The zakah moments in Cornelius' life. And they've reached the point. The incense aroma has filled heaven so much so that now heaven wants to respond and let him know that what you've done, the zakahs in your life, Cornelius, have been recorded. I believe I can now use you for the next aspect of the mission, in the global picture of bringing the church to the forefront. If there's no zakah moments in your life, why do you think God can use you in the bigger picture? If all you do is remember to come to church, oh please, You don't remember to come to church. You choose and decide. But you know, remembering to come to church is a good thing. But how much more if you can bring zakah with you? And when I carry on this, I'm going to show you how zakah has to be involved in the church. Zakah has to be... Don't remember to come to church. Remember to bring zakah when you get here. And remember to take zakah when you leave. And here we pause. Because there's part two coming. There's a part two coming. Now, God wants this house to be a Cornelius experience. God wants the zakah moments of your involvement to come up individually and corporately before God. So God can involve us in the next level of strategy for the city and for the nation. Oh, please don't look at the, keep looking up and across each other and thinking this is all it's going to be. No, it's not. And if you won't, then that's all it'll be for you. But for us, I'm believing many zakahs will come through the door. There's good people out there ready to serve. Then he said, the angel answered your prayers, your gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before the God. They'll send me to Joppa to bring a man named Simon who is called Peter. And they're the next level of church strategizing, bringing the church to the vocal point now takes place because of a man who'd grafted zakahs into his life. Wow. And the song that always keeps coming to my mind is Okie Kokie. You put your old self in. Not in, out, shake it all about. We do the Okie Kokie. That's called Sunday service for most Christians. But Jesus says, you put your soul, old self in and stay in. There's no rest of the song. It just stops. There's no Okie Kokie. It's just you put your whole self in. It's called zakah. Say the word with me if you will. Zakah. That's me. I say, that's that, John. You got a bit of emphasis going there. Zakah. Zakah, I'm not sure how it's pronounced. I just know how it's spelt. Zakah, whatever. It means the whole self in. Not just a memory. Not just a passive memory. Last scripture, we finished. 2 Timothy 1:3. And this is where we will pick up from next week, the zakah moment. This is now where it brings you in to the involvement. 2 Timothy 1:3. Are you all there? I thank God whom I serve, as my forefathers did with a clear conscience. Watch this. As night and day I constantly remember you. Watch. Didn't full stop there. I constantly remember you. Here's his zakah in prayer. Recalling my tears. Now you know, to recall in your tears, there's earnestness. He's put time into it. He's put thought, not just thought, he's now put a practice. Remembering you in prayer. In earnest of recalling your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. Paul actioned what he remembered. The issue is, will you? From this message today, is it just going to become a memory? I remember our pastor talking about that. Will you now start to think about what action needs to be involved every time I'm asked in Scripture to remember? Pay attention to what he's asking you to remember. Think about the action that is then associated with what is asking you to remember. And when you do that and you rise in that area, then the zakah believer has now risen. Gone very quiet in this Catholic church now, hasn't it? So if God says, pray for your leaders, remember your leaders, what's he saying? What's your response to remember your leaders? How does he want me to remember my leaders? He did just say, oh, I thought about Pastor Tony today. I don't want you remembering me. I don't know what some of you are thinking about me when you remember me. He's not saying just remember him. Oh, yeah, Pastor Tony, yeah. What is God asking you to remember about what is you've just remembered? Associate what action is involved and then put the action in place. Then you've taken a significant step to showing gratitude, the attitude of gratitude. Let's stand to our feet. I believe this is the game changer. I really do. So you've been listening to what Phil's been teaching, what I've been teaching. You have an action. I remembered Phil talking about that. Oh, that's good. What did you do about it? Nothing, I just remember it. Okay. I remembered this morning to come to church and I remembered the bread that they gave me. It was good food, I ate it, but tomorrow it's gone. You consumed it today. It's lost in your memory today after you've eaten it. But to remember is to dwell on it. And the moment I put an action to it, do you know what you've just done? You've taken your food from bread to seed. The moment you don't just listen to the word and just do the word, you've taken your bread to seed. And now you're sowing some aspects of that word back into an action. Can you see this? We can all eat bread. It's not enough. So I'm going to ask you to, if you will, just raise your hands. Come before the Lord and say, Lord, you've given me an understanding this morning I never had when I walked through the door. Father, I'm grateful, and I also know, Lord, that more is required of me after listening to this message. Lord, I know I'm forgetful. Pray this prayer. I know I can be forgetful. But, oh God, I pray, Lord, that you will sow these things deep into my heart, that they will not be casually, nonchalantly frittered away, but they will become conscious in my mind. That, Father, you will present to me the actions that need to be taken so I can become that Zakah believer who goes from a passive remembering person to an active person. Lord, because I know this is what gains your attention and gains your favor in heaven above. He says, remember the poor. That doesn't mean just think about them. It means do something. He says, remember to pray for the leaders of the nation. He didn't say just think about them. He said, do something about them. Sow into the life of the nation. Remember to be generous on every occasion. That's not just thinking about it. That's an action. So from this day on, Lord, you're reminding me where whatever there's a memory, there's an action that goes with the memory. Oh, Father, I thank you, oh God, that from this day on, oh God, my life is about to change. My hands will be involved. My eyes will be involved. My heart will be involved. My whole being will be involved. Because, Lord, you have given me capacity and capability. And I thank you, O God, that you have shown us the way. Oh, Ramasataranda. Through the mighty name of Jesus, we ask this, O God. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. Amen.